Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast, and I'm with my lovely friend today, Angela Barker. And Angela, what is this day today?
It's St. George's Day today, which is quite good, which we only just realised just before we spoke.
So in mythology, or would the goddesses be slaying dragons? Are there any dragons in goddess mythology?
Well, there are dragons, but with dragons in goddess mythology, we sort of look after them because they're a known strength, they're a known power within goddess and gods. I know we know St. George, obviously, he slayed the dragon to save the princess, and that's why he was a patron saint. And it's also known as the Feast of St. George today, not just St. George's Day. So that's quite nice to know.
Did you know that St. George was a Roman?
I did, yeah. He was a soldier in the Roman army, wasn't he?
He was. And
he's also the patron saint for Portugal and Spain.
He is. And do you know the dragon that he slayed?
I don't know that.
Well, he used to save the Christians from the lions.
He did.
He did. And that's what it's all about. So he was a great guy. Uncle George, fantastic.
Well, he was a Christian.
but his intent, what he did to save people.
Yeah, he was a good man, because he was saving villagers and stuff, wasn't he? And saving princesses and things.
So. Ange, out of 10 today, how many points are we going to give George?
Oh, I think we need to give him at least an 8 or a 9.
I'm going to go for 10 because I think we should.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's because it's
his day. Let's give him a bit of a boost today. Yeah, let's all give him 10s all round.
10s all round. Other times he might not get to. Other times he might not get 10, but 10 at the moment. Fantastic. Okay, here we go. Ange, I'm going to put you into a room, and I want you to think about this room. It's very large, and in the room, in the middle, there's a table. And you're going to introduce guests to it. And I'm going to say 8 guests and yourself at the head of the table. And today we're going to have a banquet. Who are you going to have as guests around the table? Tuffy.
Ooh, I can bring 8 guests.
You can. But you don't have to bring... I mean, you can bring them in steadily through the podcast if you like. But we'll just have a conversation about...
I mean, can they be... Do they have to be a live guest?
It is your banquet. Again, you can bring anybody in. You're only allowed 8. You're at the head of the table. And then I want you to bear in mind that once we've organised the guests, then you're going to have to think about what food you're going to feed them. And it can be any type of food you like. So let's go for the 8 guests. Who's going to sit to your right?
Oh, well... I better have my wife there, really.
I think you're in trouble if you don't.
Kill me.
We don't. We better have Claude's on the right. Okay.
Is that Joker's on the right? so it's Clown's on the right, isn't it? Joker's on the left.
That's right. oh, dear me. Okay. 7 to go.
I think I'd like to have a proper conversation with David Bowie. I think it'd be good to have him sat at the table, because if anybody's listened to Claude's podcast, I'm not sure if you've released that one yet, but I actually met David Bowie once. I used to do security at gigs and festivals down in Portsmouth a long time ago now. I was in my early 20s when I was playing rugby. And I was on security at the food tent of the Isle of Wight Rock Festival, which it was then. And David Bowie was headlining that night, and he turned up in the afternoon and sort of watched a few of the bands on the stage, and he walked back to the food tent and sort of stopped at us and looked at me and my security buddy at the time and just sort of said, "You two look thirsty and hungry. Would you like some food and drink?" And we sort of said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Bowie, but, you know, we can't eat or drink while we're on shift. We've got to wait until our breaks." And he walked off, and he came back with a plate of food and a bottle of water. And he said, "If anybody tells you can't eat or drink, tell them to come and see me." And walked off again.
And now tell me.
It was lovely.
Ange, tell me, did he smell of anything? Was he wearing perfume, or did he smell of anything?
He definitely smelled of something. He smelled amazing. He was very, very clean, very, very well-dressed, mm-hmm. very, very... He just had this aura about him, and he was just very... He just had this really lovely mental energy about him, and you just know you could sit there and have conversations with him for hours, and he would probably just listen to you chatter on.
Now, and okay. did you check his eye out? Was it dilated?
I didn't check, to be honest. There wasn't enough time, Ian.
Oh, right. And how tall was he compared to yourself?
He was pretty tall, actually. Mm. He wasn't massively tall, but he was... He felt taller. I think when you meet famous people, they always feel taller, don't they? Because you've instantly got that thing about them that you want to see how tall they are. He did feel a little bit taller than me. And I mean, I'm 5'9", 5'10"-ish. He felt a little bit taller than me, but not much.
And did he have that nice... accent? Was it just there, or how did he speak? Did he speak nice?
Oh, he had a really nice, polite, gentleman accent. That's the only way I could say it. It was a little bit posh, if you want to say it that way. But it was definitely lovely, and it was just, his voice was just gentle and relaxing, and a bit like a bit like Art Garfunkel, really. I think if you had sat there and let him talk to you for an hour, you'd probably fall asleep.
And Ange, can you remember what he was wearing?
Oh, God, no. That was so long ago. I can't remember what he was wearing.
So he was very nice.
He was very well-dressed. I remember thinking he was very well-dressed.
Mm, interesting.
But he must have had a short top on, because I remember seeing his arms.
So we've got David Bowie to your left. And, of course, you're returning the favour. You're going to feed him in a minute.
I know.
How wonderful.
I know. How great is that?
Excellent. Okay, so we've got our Claude, and we've got David Bowie, and you've got six to go.
Six to go. Wow. most of these are going to be musical icons, you know, because I'm very much into music myself.
Okay, by me.
So, yeah. So probably I'd love to have a conversation with Dolly Parton.
Would you? Now,
Dolly Parton,
are you going to put Dolly, is Dolly going to go next to David or next to Claude?
Next to Claude.
Okay.
Next to Claude. I think we've got to put Dolly next to Claude, because there could be a connection there, you know. She might invite Claude to go and play with her live on stage and get Claude's music out there. So I kind of got to think of Claude a little bit there.
As long as she doesn't, as long as she doesn't start singing Jolene.
Yeah. To be fair, my next guest would probably be my mum, and I'd sit her next to Dolly Parton, because my mum absolutely loves Dolly Parton, but my mum doesn't like Jolene.
So, interesting. Very interesting. So, I hate Jolene. You
know, I think a lot of people, I don't know, it's one of those love-hate songs, isn't it? Some people absolutely love it and other people hate it. I think it's played too much. I think that's what the problem is.
Do you think that people who don't like Jolene have possibly been betrayed?
Oh, probably. Probably. That's probably why they don't like it, because they're understanding it from her point of view. And maybe they're thinking, come on, Dolly, you're a strong woman. Why are you begging another woman not to take your man? You should be going to your man and saying, don't bloody leave me.
Interesting story. There was a guy who went to Dolly Parton's ranch, and he wanted to see her. And he was standing at the gate, and the caretaker guy who was sweeping up at the top of the area came along and said, can I help you? And he said, well, I absolutely love Dolly Parton, and I've come all this way, and I just thought, there's a possibility that I might get a glimpse of her. I know it could never happen, but I just wanted to be at these gates. And a guy said to him with his brush, he said, well, come and meet her. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm a husband. And he took the guy down the drive and he met Dolly Parton. That's a bit of a cracking, it's a true story. Okay, so we've got David, we've got Claudine, We've got Mommy. What's Mommy's name?
My mum's called Georgina, but everybody calls her Gina.
Oh, lovely. So we've got Gina next to Dolly. Wow, what a great group of people. Who we got next?
Yeah. So how many is that?
Oh, you see, you want me to keep count as well, do you? David 1.
Yeah, of course I do.
David 1. Claude 2. Dolly 3. George, Gina 4. So you've got 4 left.
Okay. So I would quite like to have somebody interest in there, maybe someone like Gandhi.
Wow, did he speak English?
I think he did, didn't he?
Yes, he must have done.
But I'd put him next to David Bowie because I don't think my mum would quite get Gandhi.
That's not very nice on Gina. She might be a secret Gandhi lover, won't she?
You never know. You never know. But I'd quite like to have Gandhi there.
Okay.
I would then probably maybe have someone like Marilyn Monroe there as well. You know, find out the truth of what really happened. What, you know, just have those conversations and find out. Yeah, what really happened and what happened in her days and how she made it so famous in that era, because that's a bit of an era going on there, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. So we've got yeah, five, Claude, three to go.
Yeah, okay. So another one I might like is someone like Nelson Mandela.
Okay, Nelson.
That would be interesting.
Well,
because you know he's got some controversy around him at times, hasn't he?
He's going to get on with Gandhi, well, though, isn't he? What a great
definitely going to get on with Gandhi.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And David was a Buddhist, so he might have a bit of an affinity to Gandhi, might he, as well? And I'm not—I don't think Gandhi was a Buddhist, but same Eastern type religious type move, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Definitely. So who else we got? 2 left.
I've got 2 left. Oh, God, okay. I better be careful with these 2, haven't I?
I don't know.
Do you know someone who I'd quite like there? Someone like Kenneth Williams.
Kenny Williams, definitely. Yeah. Have you read his book, Acid Drops?
Because he would bring the comedy. It would bring the being a bit iffy if somebody upset him.
Oh, yes.
Oh, matron.
Yeah, definitely, Ken.
You could imagine it, couldn't you?
Kenny Williams. It. Yes, definitely. The poor Kenny Williams. His mother was a murderer, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
She made and got away with it. His father died of a heavy dose of J's fluid.
Wow, yeah.
Poisoned by his mother. Yeah. Pretty well. Do you know what his final words were in his diary?
No, I don't.
Oh, what's the point?
Typical. What a way to go.
Well,
what's the point?
He had years of being treated for piles and he was in agony.
Oh, bless him.
He was. And
God, get him a cushion.
He used to wrap his toilet seat with cling film, and he never used to like people to come into the flat. He used to get very, very aggravated if people used to come into his flat and sit down. He didn't like people touching him. But he was a man of great complex, because once or twice a year, him and 2 of his friends, I can't remember what their names are, but they weren't showbiz friends, they used to go to Morocco to pick up prostitutes. And he used to come back and he was absolutely racked with guilt for weeks and weeks and weeks afterwards. Oh. So this poor man had got this conflict. And of course, he used to hate Sid James because Sid was so popular. And he used to call Sid James an oaf. And he never used to think that he was an actor, because he used to consider himself as a very fine actor. He was a very fine actor. Anyway, so we got our...
He did a lot of stage show, didn't
he? Oh, he was just brilliant. His book, Acid Drops, and his diaries are just magnificent. I've read them many times. So we've got 1 left.
See, now this is where I'm going to really debate, because there's two people I'd like to put in this spot. One of them's purely because I have a bit of a thing for her. And
Right.
And the other one's because she's an absolutely amazing musician. So I'm going to tell you who they both are, right, and then I'm going to make my decision. So the first one would be Michelle Rodriguez.
Right.
Actress from, yes, most people know her from the Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Franchise.
Yeah.
But she's an amazing actress, and yeah, she's a very, very pretty lady. If I didn't have Claude, she would be my ideal wife.
Okay.
Got to say that. Claude knows that. but I think I will actually put this other lady in there because I do absolutely adore her music, and it's one of the people that I listen to all the time, and I have done since I was a really young child, and that's Tracy Chapman.
Yes, cracker.
I'd like Tracy Chapman there.
Okay, then. So can I be the adjudicator and bring Michelle in as waitress?
Yeah, that'd be perfectly fine. I'd quite like that. Can I dress her?
You can do what you like with her.
Fabulous.
Okay.
I can do what I like with her.
So we've got Tracy Chapman. Cars, we've got her on the job. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this fantastic group of people. Let's just think about food for a while. What are you going to feed them?
Well, I know there's going to be a couple of vegetarians and in there, I should imagine.
Oh yeah, David Bowie was, wasn't he?
So I'm definitely going to have to do some sort of fancy vegetarian food, maybe a vegetarian curry or something.
Excellent.
And then maybe have a full hog roast for the rest.
Oh, that's a real. Would Gandhi be eating pig?
I think he was a vegetarian as well.
Oh, that's all right then. That's brilliant. So you've got a really nice vegetarian meal. And what are they going to drink?
Oh, we've got to have some mead there, haven't we?
Yeah.
Got to be some mead, and there's going to have to be some sort of ale. And why am I going medieval?
Well, go for it. Now? Go for it.
But I definitely think we need some gin there as well.
And what magical spell are you going to do to get these spirits to manifest themselves so they can actually enjoy food again? Do you think they're going to enjoy that moment? Do you think they're going to be absolutely fantastic?
We'd have to do some sort of necromancy, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Not that I ever encourage anybody to do necromancy.
No, but it's you can do it just this once, can't you?
Yeah, just this once to bring them back so they can enjoy their food.
Now, come on, we've got to do it. What candles are you going to burn? What on the table?
Oh, I think it needs to be joyful, doesn't it? And it needs to be luck for everybody. So maybe a yellow candle.
Wow.
A bit of joy, a bit of luck, a bit of happiness.
And how are we going to dress this serving wench, Michelle?
You don't want to know. I don't think that's good for live on air.
Oh yeah, but I'll tell you what. Is Gandhi going to get a bit bashful about it? Do you think, or do you think he's aware? Do you think he's worldly enough?
I think he's very worldly enough to be okay with that.
Okay.
I think it's more my mum that's going to be rolling her eyes, going, "Oh, for God's sake, Angela."
Oh, but you could. How could you get around that? Let's just see how you're going to get around that. Say you've got a pre-meal. Meet up. Who are you going to mention to? What are you going to say to Dolly to pacify Gina about the waitress when she appears?
Well, I'm gonna say to Dolly, you know, my mum's probably one of your biggest fans. She's listened to you since your very first song, and she's got every single album, and she will continually listen to you. And this is the first time she's ever met you or ever seen you live.
And
I'm sure Dolly, being the humble Dolly that she is, will stand there and talk to my mum and give her attention.
Excellent, excellent. So they're now going to go into... Tell us a little bit about the banqueting room. I want to know what it looks like.
Oh, here we go. So it'll have to be quite a big room to fit that amount of people in, because obviously there's now 10 people in that room.
Yeah.
So it's going to need a pretty big table to fit 9 people around the table to start with. So it's a big round table, Like round tables.
I like that. You see, I'd got it envisaged as a oblong, but yeah, because round's perfect. It has to be. Everybody's balanced there. Yes.
It's going to be round, and the hog roast is going to rise up out the middle of the table when it's ready.
Oh yeah, brilliant.
And the curries are obviously going to be served by Michelle plenty of alcohol being served and water, obviously, for people that don't drink, because they're not allowed pop. They could just have water. Serves himself right for not drinking. So the room's going to have to be quite a big room, and obviously it's going to be candlelit.
Yes.
We'll probably have sort of I quite like decorating tables with different plants and things, so maybe get some real long streaks of ivy decorating around the table, and you know, maybe some holly and ivy decorated around the table.
Ooh, that's interesting.
For that protection and that extra strength, you know, just to add that bit of extra. We'll probably have some crystals decorated in there, and probably have quite a bit of chocolate on the table as well, so people can just pick and choose when they want it, you know.
Are you going to serve a sweet and cheese as well, or are we going to be a bit
definitely
forward?
Going to have a cheese platter, Ian.
Yes.
If you know me as well as you think you do, you know cheese. That cheese is all about cheese for me. It's all about cheese.
Yes.
So there will definitely be a big cheese platter, you know, with lots of different cheeses on there, probably 7 or 8 different types of cheeses.
Excellent.
People can have. And then and we'll definitely have some sort of sweet on there, you know. We'll probably have a bit of a chocolate fudge cake and a bit of cheesecake and maybe another cake as well. I mean, Claude's mum makes the most amazing, actually my mum makes the most amazing trifle, so I might, for my mum's entrance, I might make a trifle.
Very good. Very good. And I mean, that, what a fantastic thing for you, for Gina to say, Dolly Parton has eaten one of my trifles.
Exactly. What about that for a claim to fame?
Yeah, she could have a $2 trifle.
A $2 trifle.
Now, tell. So let's in turn, the first questions you're going to ask. What question are you going to ask David? Firstly, are you going to thank him for that wonderful?
Of course. Yeah. I was just about to say that. I was just about to say the first thing I'd say is thank you for bringing me that food and that water. I did actually need a drink when you brought it, so it was quite nice to get a bit of a refreshing drink. So I really appreciate that. And then I'll probably say, I know you probably don't remember, which he'll probably say, well, to be honest, probably not.
I wonder.
You don't know, do you?
No, you don't. You don't
know. And then I would probably ask him how he came up with the creative feel of some of his Ziggy Stardust stylings.
Interesting. Hmm. And would you keep that information and sell it to Claude, or would you give it to Claude?
I'd give it to Claude.
Oh, she'd overhear it, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she's sitting next to me.
Of course. That's a very cute move. Get the information that's needed.
Exactly.
And what are you going to ask? What are you going to ask Dolly?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is introduce Claude to Dolly. Once I've introduced my mum, obviously, because my mum would kill me if I didn't introduce her first. and then I'd introduce Claude to Dolly and say, you know, Claude's a musician. She's very, very good. And I would actually say, you know, if we gave you a CD, would you listen to it?
And I'll bet you she would.
I bet she would. If she said she was going to, I can imagine Dolly doing it if she said she was.
But the thing is, our David was very well known for pinching other people's riffs and things, wasn't he? He was really well known for that.
Yeah.
So we'd have to be a little bit careful not to give too much reference to Claude's work to David, else he might be pinching it in the spirit world. You'd never know. You might be here.
If Claude goes up to the spirit world and she starts hearing our music, can you imagine how much she's going to love that?
Yeah, she would actually, because she's generous, isn't she? She'd be happy with that. She'd be very, very happy with that.
Yeah.
Very, very happy with that.
She would be really happy, especially if she hears that David Bowie's playing it.
Yeah, or yeah, if some of Claude's works, riffs were in Bowie's spiritual songs. How about that?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
So now we've got to the question of specifically, have you got a question for Dolly? A specific question. Is there something you want to know? And bear in mind that you can ask her any question you like.
Yeah. I would actually ask her a real personal question, to be honest, because when she's on stage, you know, she always talks about why. One of the things she says on stage is, I'd like to thank the audience because without you, I wouldn't have been able to get so much plastic surgery, you know, which is very
is that what she says?
Yeah, she says it live on stage all the time. Without you, I wouldn't have been able to look like this and get so much plastic surgery. And she's very open and honest about it. And, you know, she's honest about the fact that when she was younger, she used to see this woman who she thought might have been a bit of a lady of the night, used to walk past her down the street. And she used to say to her mum, one day I'm going to look like her. And she's kind of modelled her look. Yeah, she says it live on stage all the time.
Oh, goodness. No wonder her husband works in the garden.
Isn't it? But, you know, she's very, very open about having plastic surgery and her enhancing herself to look the way that she wants to look. And I would actually say to her, now that you look the way that you want to look, are you happy?
Ooh, and what do you think she'd say?
I don't think she would ever truly, truly be happy with who she is, because I don't think anybody is truly 100% happy with who they are. Ooh. I think there's always something that makes people go, do you know what? I love myself and I love what I'm doing and I love who I am, but, and there's always a but with people. Mm. No matter who you are, there's always going to be a but.
See, I don't care.
And that's the difference. But are you happy not caring?
Oh, I'm the happiest person I know.
Love it. Love it.
Oh,
but
dear,
you've ended up with a Liz.
I have. And I think, you know...
Liz is amazing. I love Liz. I think she's an amazing lady.
She's a tough cookie, though, you know, redhead. Oof, gotta be careful.
Oh, God, yeah. I really don't want to get three strikes from Liz, because I hate to see what happens when you get the third. I think I'm teetering on the third, but that's just because I'm cheeky.
She just looks at you with those grey eyes and you think, oh, I'll go down the garden shed.
I'm just going to take a few steps back, yeah, and step back slowly while still gaining eye contact just in case you launch.
Oh, dear me. So anyway, we've sorted our Dolly out. Now we're going to get a bit serious here, aren't we? Because... you've got Gandhi or Nelson. Who are you going to speak to first?
Well, let's go to Gandhi.
Okay.
Because at times he was quite political, wasn't he, at times? And he was very, very calming and natural with the way he was political.
He was. I think that his truth was so strong that you couldn't break it down, could you? His truth was just so strong. I mean, he's fearless, really, wasn't he? When he stood in front of all of those English soldiers, and they could easily have shot him. He just stood his ground, didn't he? And if they'd have killed him, there'd have been a riot and there'd have been more trouble. But he just was a fantastic guy, wasn't he?
The amount of stuff he did for the civil rights movement, and you know, because he started off as a lawyer, didn't he?
He did.
He was originally a lawyer, wasn't he? Mm. So, so the question for Gandhi, so maybe, you know, maybe something like, how did you get to that level where you knew that you were so right that you had to do something? What was the jumping point where you had to do something?
And what do you think he'd say?
I generally think he was a genuine, kind, loving man. Mm. And I think he probably would have... I think he would have cracked, like anybody. Mm. And I think he would generally say, had to do something because people needed help.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, hang on, we've got to be careful here. You've got to bring, get David. He's getting a bit of trouble. He's chatting up Michelle. Put him to rights. Oh dear. David, control yourself.
She's Stop not, it, David. Yeah. She's not for you.
Yeah, she's not she's here not for you. Oh dear, you know what he's like with tall models.
Yeah. She's not a tall model though, is she, Michelle Rodriguez?
I don't know. No,
she's not a tall model. She's not actually that tall at all, really. She'd be shorter than me.
Okay. So he's all right. Anyway, I've noticed that Iman's just looking from the other room. He's just had to sort himself out. So, okay. So we've sorted our Gandhi out. What about Nelson? Tough life, been in that Robin's Island for a long time, isolation, very cruelly treated. And Winnie, she wasn't very fair to him when he came out, was she?
No, she wasn't. But do you know what? I wouldn't ask anything about that. I would literally go to Nelson Mandela and ask him about the rugby team that won the
World Cup,
the South African rugby team when he was president. And I would say, what was the support you gave them to make them believe that they could actually win that World Cup? Because they weren't, you know, they weren't by far favourites.
Interesting.
He gave them quite a lot of support and he gave them quite a lot of a push. And I think he actually worked out a way to give them some money so they could actually properly train for that World Cup. And that Rugby World Cup, it kind of brought the nation together a little bit because everybody had a focus as to what they could join in with.
Do you know if he liked rugby? Was he a sports fan?
Well, I think he was because he was at the World Cup. He watched most of those games throughout that rugby year, didn't it? Was it 1995?
About the tournament. Yes, I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was 1995. But he went to majority of those cup games. He went to majority of the cups. And, you know, it did unite quite a lot of the country because there was a lot of white players that played. There was a lot of black players that played. And it was at that time when the country was kind of splitting into that black and white minority thing, you know, where they were having lots of civil wars and stuff. And it kind of united the country for a while.
Do you think it's possibly true that the Queen did say that he was her favourite statesman that she ever met? Do you think that's possibly true?
I don't see how it could not be true because she's met a lot in her time, hasn't she? The Queen has, but he must have been such an influential character, and he always seemed so calm on the outside, didn't he? Whether he was calm on the inside or not, you wouldn't know. But he always seemed so calm on the outside, didn't he? So relaxed about stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch that film about him and his association with the guard, it's quite fascinating, isn't it? That man who originally is quite cruel to him, to say the least, but in the end they become incredible friends, and even when he's released they're still in contact as friends. It's a simply amazing thought, isn't it, that a prisoner can become a friend of somebody who's the guard.
And who was quite torturous with him as well, wasn't he? He did sort of treat him quite badly
in the early days. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And to have that sort of forgiveness within you, to forgive somebody to that point where you do become friends with them, that takes a lot. Shows how big a man he was.
It does. Tracy. Let's have a now.
Tracy Chapman. I've seen her live before and she's so, so shy. She's so shy. And you can tell she's shy because she doesn't really talk much. But when she plays, oh my God, and sings, her voice is amazing. And some of her songs are so, not just political, but they're thought-wrenching at times. You know, there was that one about once her neighbour getting beat up by her husband And, you know, they kept calling the ambulance and nothing was ever done about it until the person actually died, you know. Mm. And when you listen to some of the words of Tracy's songs, you just get sucked into where she's at. You know, Talking About a Revolution is another song that just makes you go, yeah, you were talking about a revolution at that point, you know, and you did want to get quite political. But there's so many songs that Tracy Chapman's done that not a lot of people know about. They all know about the Tracy Chapman album, the one with Fast Car and Talking About Revolution and all that on. Everybody, most people know about that album. But the later albums, there's some really, really good later albums. There's an album called Crossroads that she did. And you can tell I'm a fan of Tracy Chapman.
I can.
You know, I really, really love Tracy Chapman's music. Her music has always got me through points in my life. There's always been an album that have got me through a point in my life through Tracy Chapman's music, you know. And I think I'd just ask her how she got to be so political while keeping her religious beliefs and being such an open lesbian, because that's hard.
Very, very difficult juxtapositions there, aren't there? Very, very complex. And and the great thing about Tracy Chapman is she's attracted the most universal amount of fans. They come from every different avenue of life, don't they? Which means that her words must really affect people very deeply in all in a very broad spectrum of society. Why do you think that's so?
I just think it's the words that she used, and they all feel so honest and so raw. And it, you can tell it's coming from her. You know, you can tell those words are coming from her, and they are honest and they are raw, and you can feel it when she sings it. And I mean, her music isn't that extravagant, you know. I mean, her earlier days, she only ever used to use three chords on her songs.
Wow.
You know, there was three chords on all of her songs in the earlier days. And as she's gone further on, she's had more artists and more musicians coming in playing other riffs and stuff, you know. But if you listen to the real earlier stuff, you'll only ever hear three chords, especially when she's playing the guitar on her own. It's just three chords. And it's the words that take you away.
And Ange, you've got a bit of a complete opposite, haven't you, with R. Marilyn? Total man eater, adored by men the world over. Totally opposite, really, to Tracy. Now, how are you allowing Marilyn to come into the room with her furs and diamonds?
Oh God, yeah. It's got to be her, hasn't she?
Yes.
It's got to be her.
Yes.
You can't say that she can't be her.
Mm.
You know, I think she also kind of changed attitudes towards sexuality, didn't she, in her day?
I think she did.
She kind of totally took on that role of saying women can be attractive and do what they want and become famous actresses, and they don't need a man to do it, really. Mm. Although she had lots of men around her, don't get me wrong.
But you know what I've always found interesting about Marilyn Monroe is that the people that she had relationships with, they didn't follow a particular pattern. For example, Joe DiMaggio and then Henry Miller, completely and utterly different people, a boxer and a writer, completely different. And then she gets herself involved with the Kennedys. Frank Sinatra adored her. I mean, she's all over the place with her men, isn't she? Is that an indication? I'm going to do something here in a minute. Is that an indication of her personality or weaknesses, strengths? What's it telling you?
Yeah, I actually think that maybe she got bored.
Of course, to be honest.
And I think that's probably why she jumped around so much to different types of men, because some men weren't overly intellectual, some men were very good practically, some men were really intellectual,
Miller. I mean, let's think something else about her as well. I mean, if I'm right, she's a gay icon, isn't she?
She's
loved by the male gay community, isn't she? She's a gay icon. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because she did go out there and she did change that sexuality for people. And I think, I mean, if you look at the gay icons that are out there, you've got the people like Marilyn Monroe and Liza Minnelli, for example. They're very out there. They're very proud of who they are, and they're very proud of what they do. And they want to be adored. They want to be loved. And weren't they loved and adored?
And still are,
you know,
still are,
and still are, and I think that's why the gay community take to that sort of character, because the gay community just want to be loved and adored.
Yeah,
and they want to be out there.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting thought. And I suppose the other thing as well, there's a fragility of a life, which is also very, very in line with a lot of gay men, isn't it? They have a very fragile existence, where a lot of the gay women I meet have got a lot of strength, a lot of independence. I see a lot of weakness with the few gay men that I know. There's a lot of fragility there, and a lot of there may be a lot of bravado on the front, but you know, when you get down to it, there's a lot of weakness. Now, so the meal is over. Go on.
There was a quote that Marilyn Monroe did that I absolutely love, and I don't know if I'm quoting this right, but it was along the lines of imperfection is beauty, madness is genius. And it's better to be absolutely ridiculous than absolutely boring. Mm. And what a great quote that is.
So do you think it's true? Do you think she did have a bit of a fling with Einstein? Do you think that's a true thing?
Who knows? Who knows?
Okay.
I have absolutely no idea.
Right. Now then, I'm going to be the conduit. I'm going to be the medium now. And I'm really going to put you right on the spot. And here we go. So the meal, they've absolutely adored. They've loved the conversations. Dolly's actually got on very, very well with Gandhi, surprisingly. And old Nelson, he's been chatting up Marilyn, which is pretty okay. Tracy still keeps winking at Michelle for some reason. I'm not very happy about that. And there could be trouble later. There could be trouble later. But I'm now going to be the conduit medium, and I'm going to draw a tarot card for each one of them. You're going to interpret it. So so to make this a bit fair, which of your guests are we going to start with?
Oh, you love putting me on the spot, Ian.
I can, because people absolutely love these strange ones.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
Let's go with my mum first. Let's make it an easy one.
Okay, let's go Gina, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm shuffle, eyes closed. If I drop the cards, it won't make much difference. Here we go. We've got a card. So, got temperance.
Okay.
Temperance for Gina.
I might actually find it in my pack of cards just so I can see it with you.
Okay.
Which, surprise, surprise, are just beside me. They always are. They're always near me. They never go too far.
Excellent.
Because, as you know, I'm not a book-read tarot reader.
No,
I'm purely intuitive.
Yeah.
So what I see is what I get. What I hear is what I get. And when it comes through, it comes through.
So, Gina, if you're temperance. Listening, here you go. It's temperance for you.
So, temperance. So, I'm trying to block out that this is my mum.
Okay.
Not knowing it's my mum. But my mum's going to take offence by this, and I know she will.
Excellent.
And she's going to tell me off. So what I'm getting for that is that sometimes she needs to take a stand back and realise that her judgment is not always the right judgment.
Ooh, that's a bit deep. Nice. Yeah. So I like it. So putting temperance back into the deck. I'm going to give it a bit of a shuffle. Who are we going to pull a card for next?
Let's go for Dolly.
Okay, Dolly. Now is the moment of card. Out it comes, out it comes. Ooh, it's the Three of Wands. The Three of Wands.
Ooh, okay.
He surveys his domain, doesn't he? Anyway,
so
sorry.
So for that, I would say thinking of Dolly and thinking of what I'm seeing there, I would say, you know, that she needs to... She needs to bring out another three albums. She needs to tour again.
Oh, I see Gina's smiling.
She needs to tour again in the UK and give my mum free tickets to go and see her. Yeah. And Claude needs to be a support act.
Ooh, very, very good. So three of wands is saying be in control of the domain and get travelling again. People want to see you. Are you happy with
basically,
that?
Basically.
Good.
Basically.
Okay, so we've Jean has had a reading and Dolly's had a reading. Who's next?
Let's go for Gandhi.
He's looking a bit strange at you, but I don't think he's very keen on the old tarot cards, right? So look, oh my goodness me, it's the lovers.
Oh, okay. So, well, okay. So Gandhi was very much loved anyway.
Yes,
he was loved by a lot of people.
Yes,
and he was made to be loved by a lot of people, and he still is very loved by people. There's a lot of people that look up to him.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that still try to follow in his footsteps. However, he is the original and he is the one and only. And he will always have that way of giving out to the universe and to the world. And I believe that in spirit, he's still doing that. And I think he's still trying to guide people in certain directions to stick up for themselves and do what they believe is right.
Wonderful. So are you, I'm just trying to go through those words, are you saying that he's still bringing the love to many people?
Yes.
Excellent.
I am.
Good.
I am
so
indeed.
Gandhi. Next card. Who do you want next?
Let's go for David.
David. Right. Let's just see. I'm shuffling those cards. These 78 cards of wisdom. David Bowie. Let's have a look. Oh my goodness, it's the Queen of Swords.
Nice. Okay. So I'm getting that he's quite rigid sometimes, and with some of the ways that he perceives himself is rigid, and he mm-hmm. needs to loosen that up a bit, because every time he does loosen that up, he comes out with an amazing song and he becomes very, very creative.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes, I'll go for that 100%. I think that's really good. Who are we having next? We've got Ooh. Marilyn, we've got Claudine, we've got Nelson,
Tracy,
we've got Tracy girl.
Let's go for Tracy.
She's smiling. I think she likes the idea. Right.
Yeah.
I think you could become her tarot consultant for the rest of her life.
Fabulous.
Right, let's have a look. It's the Four of Swords.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so I already know Tracy's quite shy and she suffers with anxiety quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if she was actually to look within herself and look at what she's achieved and how far she's come, she could be proud of that and she could be proud of who she is. And she needs to keep pushing forward and keep driving forward and maybe look a bit more within herself at what she's achieved so
far. Excellent, excellent. Who is next? We've got
We've done Marilyn.
We've got Marilyn, Claudine, Nelson.
Let's do Marilyn.
Okay. Shuffle the cards. Oh, here we go. Oh my goodness, it's justice. Oh, crikey.
Ooh, okay. So didn't Marilyn have a son?
I do not know.
I think she did. She have a son that was hidden away for a very long time with Miller.
It's a good question. I don't know.
I think she did, and I think she feels a bit guilty about the fact that he had to hide himself away for so long.
Ooh, interesting.
And I think she needs to let go of that guilt because that wasn't her responsibility to hold on to. And I think she needs to release that guilt and let go of that guilt. And she also needs to release the guilt around the whole JFK situation as well. Because there was two people in that, not just one. I think she's holding on to a lot of guilt that she needs to release.
Do you think that there should be justice? There should be some justice about her death or anything? Do you think that there's any reference to that, do you think? No, you don't sense it.
We just don't know, do we? We just don't know what really happened. And I don't think we ever will. I don't think personally, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't think that she went the way she did.
Okay. So
the way that's been said. So okay. I do think there should be a bit of justice, but I don't think we're ever going to hear the truth, and I don't think we're ever going to know the truth.
Nice card for her, though, because I think she does need a bit of justice in her unhappy life, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Claude, Nelson.
Nelson.
Okay, Nelson. Let's have a look. Here we go. Here we go. It's the Eight of Coins. That little man tapping away with his Eight of Pentacles.
So this is telling me that Nelson's done his hard work. He's done everything that he's needed to do. And he's created a world, a much better world than what it was before he came along. Wow,
yes, 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 yes.
And he's done a lot for his country. And it's time now for him to take a rest and sit back and enjoy his hard-earned work.
Fantastic. So we've now got Claude.
My lovely wife.
Okay. Right. I'll see if I can find her. I can't do that. I can't turn them over. I've got to do it properly, else it's not going to, it's not going to work correctly. So here we go then. Eyes shut. Got a card. Turning it over. The Hierophant, the Pope. There you are.
Okay.
Yeah, the Popess.
So with Claude, I'm going to say she needs to make dinner tonight because I'm bored of cooking.
You're not allowed to abuse your privilege of being tarot reader to this group of fantastic people.
I'm only joking. No, I think Claude sometimes just needs that boost of confidence that she can only really give to herself.
Great.
And she needs to realise that her musical ability is a lot bigger than she even notices. And she needs to gain confidence from that.
Excellent. And look, Michelle, she's looking at you with pleading eyes. Shall we?
We've got to do Michelle.
We've got to. Okay, then.
Quite literally.
She's smiling now. She's smiling now. She's very, very pleased. Okay, so...
She'll pay for it later.
I'll edit that bit out. No, I won't. Right. It's the Ten of Wands, the Lord of Oppression. What's all that about?
Oh, well, I think Michelle gets a bit of a hard stick in the press and gets a bit of hard stick in general, you know, because
does she?
Because she's openly admitted that she's bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And she's with a very, very pretty tall, or she was with a tall, lanky model.
David's twinkling.
And yeah, I noticed. Down, David, down. And they do get a bit of stick in the press, and they do get a bit of stick on social media and things. You know, they've had abuse and death threats and all sorts of stuff.
Really?
And I think that, you know, she needs to just be who she is and be proud of who she is and just keep doing what she's doing.
So
she's doing a good job.
So the Lord of Oppression could not have been a better card. Just absolutely perfect. Ten of Wands, perfect. So here we go then. Ange, you have entertained David Bowie, Dolly Parton, and Claude, of course. And we've had Marilyn Monroe, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and Tracy Chapman, and of course your mum Gina, and Michelle. And they're all standing up and giving you a round of applause because you can now say that you've read cards for the most fantastic group of people you could ever wish to put together. And you fed them, and they've had an absolutely wonderful evening. And now they're going to go to the cinema, and they're going to all going to watch a film together. What film is it going to be?
Avengers Endgame.
Excellent. Okay. And after the film, you're all going to retire to the lounge. There's a lovely fire burning. And what are you going to serve them for their final drink of the evening?
Oh, let's have a bit of port.
Lovely glass of port each.
Love a bit of port. And maybe make some roasted chestnuts over the open fire.
Well, Michelle's already going to be doing that for you. Roasting those chestnuts.
Yeah.
And are you going to get her to shell them for you, to take the shells off?
Yeah.
Yeah, make her do her work for the evening.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
fantastic. Ange Barker, that has been your fantastic meal and banquet. Thank you for bringing us into your world. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. I enjoyed that.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Anyway, to everybody's listening, hope you've enjoyed it. And I'm sure that we'll be back next week with another great, fun, wonderful podcast with what absolutely wonderful friend and lady. I'm privileged to know you. Thank you very much indeed, Ange.
Thanks, Ian.